Hi, my name is Carol Martin. That's my English name. My spirit name is Spirit Tree Woman. I'm very honored to be here, to be among some of the great voices that are resisting against a lot of what is happening to our people. I have traveled from here to Ottawa, to Edmonton, Calgary, to listen and to educate myself also on a lot of our issues. But I work right in the core of the downtown east side, so I see a lot of what is happening with our people. And you know, it really saddens me too, because the Olympics just happened to be happening on our 19th year of doing the Memorial March. But I see the devastation and I see what is happening to our people. You know, they're talking on the news about how great the Olympic is and how we're going to benefit from it greatly. But then when I go to work, I wake up and I go to work in the morning. For 9 hours down there, I see the devastation and you know how it's impacted a lot of our people and even myself personally. You know, the Olympics has a really negative impact in our communities, you know, because of the destruction of our traditional territories. You know, a displacement of our people, our wildlife, you know, destroying a lot of our medicines. So you know what, when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, our native people, we've been portrayed as real negatives, as real society's cast-offs. So, you know, when I see the four hosts being projected out, you know, to... I don't know what I would call it. They're showcasing the First Nations people. These are elected people who get elected in those positions to keep our people oppressed on our reserves. They call them reserves. They are not, I don't think they ever come forward as leaders within our community to project out our issues, the real issues that our people are dealing with. You know, when you talk about resistance, you have to think about the history and everything that's had an impact on our people. The residential school has had a real negative effect on our people. And the government got really strategic about how he was dealing with it. And now a lot of our residential school survivors are actually dealing with a lot of these issues right now as we speak. And they're not being represented properly. It reminds me of the time when... years ago, I remember reading about the history of our people signing the treaties. We didn't understand a lot of their English words. We didn't understand a lot of what was being read to us. So I see that happening with our people right now. They're showcasing something that does not exist for our people, only the few selective ones, like the four hosts. Our lives are not like that. The Olympics has done a lot of destruction, and I thought that being an athlete meant honor, dignity, representing something like your country or wherever you came from. I didn't think it represented destruction, money, power, hiding problems away, paying so much money for security, for developing of land that could be used for housing for the homeless. You go downtown and you see a lot of caged off areas where a lot of the homeless people used to sleep because, you know, they had to find a safe, warm place to stay. A lot of our really hard to house people have nowhere to go because you try to get them into any of the shelters they have down there. They have a lot, it's called a red flag by their name. So when you're trying to find them housing, it's really difficult. You talk about the impacts of the Olympic, you just have to go walk downtown. Any time of the day, from early in the morning till late at night, you'll see a whole different crowd of people coming out. You know, the presence of police means pressure on the dealers, means pressure on the people, means pressure on the users, our women. And there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't see a woman walking by the women's center in handcuffs because they've been put on the side to do the work that the dealers had to do because there's a lot of pressure being put on them. And there's a lot of violence. You only see the surface part of a lot of stuff downtown. There, it comes in layers. There's a lot of women who've lost their housing because they can't afford the high rents. They lose their kids. They lose their housing. It's very, very sad. I mean, I have a home to go to. But there's a lot of stories that I have to listen to. Housing. Housing. We don't have accessibility to safe, affordable housing. A lot of the decent places have really high rents. A lot of the not so decent place, you can't live in there. They're, you know, some of the places are infested. I was renting a place, let me see, maybe a little over a year ago, paying $2,000. The guy fixed the place up to look really nice. So when you walk in there, you're thinking you're getting a really good deal. You move in there, the roof starts leaking, the pipes start breaking, mold starts developing, it's cold. And I had two of my grandbabies living with me, and one of them ended up in the hospital. There's so many stories about the impacts of the... I almost forgot where I was. There's so many stories about people and how the Olympics are affecting them. You know, I go on the bus and I go ride the SkyTrain every day. You see all these people who've been hired by the Olympics riding for free. And I'm thinking, how much did it cost them to fix, to build that new, what is it, SkyTrain to the airport? And everyone who has a ticket for the Van Nock events, or if they're working there, get to ride the transit for free. You know, a lot of my people, they can't even afford transit, because they have to make a decision between riding, which is a luxury for a lot of them, or buying food, because it costs $2.50 for adults and $1.75 for kids. Now you add that up with a mother with two kids, you know, she'd rather go walk somewhere and then buy a bit of food. People who are living on welfare, they can't afford a lot of the high prices that they have in place now. You know, when I get up and I speak, my people are suffering. I am so honored, you know, to be part of this. You know, to bring my voice here, to bring my stories, to bring what I witness, what I hear, what I see happening. Because you know what? We are the leaders here. We are the ones that are going to make the difference. Our resistance is going to make us stronger. Our voices are going to make us strong. You know, when corporations are feeding off the backs of poor people, we have to say enough is enough. It's very hard for me around this time of the year because, you know, I'm one of the organizers for the FIP 14 Memorial March. And it's very hard because the list of our women who die and go missing, it gets longer. It doesn't get any shorter. Where is the justice for our people when they're taking away our land, when they're destroying so much? Not just the land, but our lives, our connection to Mother Earth. We have an inherent right to defend this land and what belongs to our people. So much has been taken away from us. The Olympics is just another part of it. They've occupied the downtown east side. They've reoccupied my mind. They've instilled fear in my people. They use guns, power, money. So I'm glad that we have this resistance. I'm glad I have my voice. I'm glad to be a part. I'm happy to be a part of this resistance. Because you know what? It's time to bring the power back to the people. It's time. Do you know, I remember when I was growing up, and you know, we got to elect people in position, hopefully to lead our people. When I seen that not happening, I seen the devastation on the reserves when I used to go home. You know, the bad housing, no accessibility to housing, to education, to clean water. They took away a lot of our hunting and fishing rights. I thought, what happened to the voices of the people? Well, you know what? We're here now. And I was doing an interview this afternoon talking about how my eyes, my ears, and my mouth have deceived me over the years because I've been brainwashed and conditioned to think, see, and hear a certain way. And I told this to the guy at the Peruvian consulate when I went and spoke about what was happening to our indigenous people there. And I told him, Turtle Island's waking up. And we are part of that waking up. We are part of what's going to happen. We are part of the change that's going to take place with our people. And I know what I stand for. I stand for my people, and I stand for this land. And nothing's going to ever stop me again. I have nothing to lose other than my voice. And I will continue to speak out about the injustice of what is happening to the people, especially in the downtown east side. And all over the world. So you have to acknowledge your presence, because each and every one of you, you represent the leadership that has to take place within this community. You are the voices to the people who cannot get up and speak, because a lot of our people are dealing with addiction. A lot of our people are dealing with homelessness. A lot of our people are dealing with the residential schools. A lot of our people are afraid because they've been beaten down too many times. So I'm very, very honored. I truly am, to be a part of this resistance. And hopefully, I have 5 girls, 1 boy. And I'll tell you something. You better watch out, world, because they're coming behind me. Thank you.